Tracy, it begs a question that generally these things like TEFCA that come down from the federal government or a department of the federal government are impacted to some extent by who's in charge in Washington. We know that we're coming up on a change, in a potential change in 2024. What happens to TEFCA and QHIN in 2024 if there's an administration change? Or is it here to stay because it makes so much sense and we're so far down the path? And if it's not here to stay, does it matter to those folks out there who are seeking to get into the space of interoperability and advanced clinical information exchange?
Yeah, it's the latter. We've, as a company, our view is that we're future-proofing anybody. So if QHIN, and we strongly believe it will be successful at this point, is successful, it's just another service offering on the No2 platform. If it is not successful, that's okay. It's irrelevant to those that are consuming our platform. And we're making sure that whatever path the future holds, that we're future-proofing any of our customers and our partners that come on the platform.
No2 has been involved. Obviously, it's an applicant QHIN, so it's one of the six applicant QHINs that were approved in the first cycle. And you guys have been involved for years in leading interoperability frameworks, what it means to be interoperable. Do you mind talking just a minute about that? I want people to understand the impact of thought leadership that I think No2 has put forward to the space and how core it is to our DNA.
Yeah, I'm going to back it up to really the beginning of the company and what the vision was for the platform is that we didn't see one protocol as going to be successful. It was going to be multiple. And that we weren't set out to become the network at that time, that we were going to become a network of networks. So we were actually the first to coin that going through, is that we were a network of networks. We were aggregating every network we would connect to. We would simplify the connectivity to it through our one API. We call it our communication API, which is built upon very basic workflows of send, receive, and find. And any connectivity, as a commitment we made to our partners and their end users, any connectivity that we were going to do, and the first commitment was, we'll do the connectivity, you don't have to, Mr. Partner. And any connectivity that we were doing, they would have it realized through the same API. So once a partner integrated to our API of send, receive, find, they could get anywhere from direct secure messaging to state HIEs to cloud fax to care quality, Commonwealth, eHealth Exchange.
So a comprehensive solution for clinical information exchange.
Comprehensive communication.
Yeah.
One API, comprehensive communication. Yeah. So we future-proof in that methodology.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Let me ask this question about, you mentioned the post-acute. We're here at the NAC conference, as we mentioned, and for home care and hospice. And you mentioned the importance of health information exchange, clinical information exchange in the post-acute space. Talk a little bit about that. I, as a provider, can understand that, and it's a bi-directional need, but talk a little bit about the perspective that No2 has and why it's so important to serve this community with interoperability.
Beyond just the wonderful people that make up the community of post-acute providers that have long served the sickest and the most, you know, the elderly among us, I just have a special place in my heart for that. But this community is where, I mean, look at the aging population that we have, the population that's becoming more sick, the expense of our population. There, as we're trying to move care out of the hospital and care out of the traditional care settings and move it to the home with some of the new innovation models, they absolutely need connectivity. And serving this community of providers, if it's facility-based care, if it's in-home-based care or remote patient monitoring, all these different opportunities, No2 is the framework for that, to bring it forward and connect them to, I always say, mainstream healthcare, connect them to the rest of the care continuum and allow information to flow. So it's been our focus since the beginning. Now today we serve as the de facto standard, the communication standard for all of these. So whether it's, again, skilled facilities, it's LTACs, it's home health, home care, personal care, name it, therapies, we serve as the de facto communication gateway to all of those, and we're seen as that. So when we were designated as a QHIN, that's absolutely what the federal government saw us as, too, as their kind of their break to the future. And the reason No2, one of the key reasons that No2 was selected as an instrumental QHIN for changing healthcare moving forward.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. Let me ask you a question just that may be on people's minds as they're thinking about it, Teresa, and I'm a provider organization. I'm an EHR vendor. How do I go about evaluating QHINs? How do I go about choosing a QHIN? Is it important that I do that? And what's the time frame that I need to be worried about that if yeah. I need to be worried about it?
So I would separate out those two audiences.
Yeah.
So an EHR vendor or a health technology vendor, let's say that, EHR, digital health, whatever it may be, if they're evaluating for a QHIN only, the first thing I would suggest is they expand that thought process, is evaluate for communication, comprehensive communication, and find the right vendor to be able to do that. If you're evaluating for a QHIN, you're banking on a single modality, and may or may not. We believe it will be, but that's the one thing I would suggest. That needs to be included in the thought process. The provider is dependent upon their EHR vendor, and so educating themselves, certainly, I would always encourage people to educate themselves and understand what's going on, but really open up those lines of communication to that EHR vendor and seek to provide influence to the EHR vendor on how the workflow should work. So the EHR vendor is responsible for the technical implementation, for instance, of our API. Provide influence to your EHR vendor on how it needs to be realized within the software you're using. So what does it look like in the software you're using? What is the workflow? Provide that feedback. Collectively, that's the holistic solution. Where the plumbing, the EHR vendor will implement, and it needs to be realized at the provider's office and actually seeing the value of connectivity at scale.
Wonderful. Thank you for the generosity of your time and for sitting with us and talking a little bit about TEFCA and QHIN and demystifying some of the fog that's out there around these items. So thank you very much, Drayson.
Absolutely. It's my privilege.